Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. It seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. And we say good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Great to be with you again here in Oklahoma.
And, well, man, I know we've got a couple callers, and I'll be listening out for them, and we'll let you know when they're on.
Thank you, sir. Sure appreciate it. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have been set free from that which is tormented by the power of Jesus. And we do thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us all power and authority and to be able to do these things. And that's going to lead right into a scripture that Pastor Cox wanted to read. Why don't you go ahead and read that, Pastor?
Well, yes, I felt led tonight to read John 14, starting there. In verse 12, which reads in the King James, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And the next verse, and whosoever shall... whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So it's interesting here to see, yes, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he answers prayer, praise God. And then we also are to do the same works of Jesus in his name. Of course, he Mark 16:17 clearly commanded that to cast out evil spirits and lay hands on the sick. And then I think also in verse 15, it's interesting, Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we are to be doing his commandments and doing it in his name. And certainly that's what we see. Prayer works, but also in deliverance and healing, it took me a while to get hold of it, that we are to be commanding directly in the name of Jesus. We had 13 cases this last Monday night. There were quite a few physical healings, inner healing as well. And the ministers, of course, I know none of them were praying to the Father in Jesus' name to do things with their person that they had, the team leader. They were commanding as they got into deliverance and healing in his name. It took me a long time to get hold of that, but certainly it works. And I've seen 40 years of it now, which is, I just praise God over and over. Somebody shared it. I know I've said that a lot, but it's just, I could have missed all this so easy, Ralph.
Amen. And Pastor, you can never praise the Lord enough, so you just keep praising every time you're on this radio program. But it's interesting. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And what's the commandment of one of our commandments of our Lord? Is to exercise grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And in the last hour, during the prayer meeting, Brother Leon gave a wonderful testimony showing and exercising that in his life. He had some teenage boys that, if I remember right, they came from a boys' home and stole some stuff, and his stuff was protected. It's a great testimony. If you didn't hear it, you get a chance, text Richard or somebody, and I'm sure Leon would be happy to put it down into print and get it out to you. But, he exercised grace and mercy upon these boys. He didn't call down fire upon them. He didn't call down a railing judgment upon them. He didn't do these things. He decided he was going to work with these boys and pray for them because the Spirit realized revealed to them they don't have, there's no fathers aren't there anymore, and they don't have that covering. And he did that. And I remember when I saw the prayer request come out from his wife and put it on social media a couple weeks back, and I remember praying something in the sense that, well, Lord, let their justice be done, let them find their stuff and grant these people repentance and bring them back to it. And I didn't think about it being boys, personally, being this part of Missouri that we're in. I just figured it was druggies. And even then, they need some exercise and grace and mercy. But as Leon gives that testimony, I was evaluating how I could have possibly prayed better for them and exercise that grace and mercy. And without that grace and mercy and offering forgiveness, we're in danger of not having it given to us. And I know there's a lot of false teachings out there where, you don't have to forgive unless they ask for it. I've heard people from our own ministry, I've heard foreign members of the ministry say that, and that's just insane to think that. And Brother Leon, he did a fantastic job. He really convicted me. I'm glad I heard it. And what came to my mind was 2 2, verse 13, for judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And Leon chose to do that. And one thing I was texting back and forth after I heard the testimony, and one of the things I said to him is, ask yourself this, 3 or 4 years ago, how would you have prayed for them? And because of the growth we've had in the ministry, being introduced to a lot of the teachings in Scripture we didn't really pay attention to that Pastor Cox had given us, I've exercised more grace and mercy in my life, and that forgiveness. And that forgiveness is such a key when it comes to deliverance, because if you cannot get to the point you forgive, you might as well just stop right there in the deliverance. Isn't that right, Pastor?
That's so true. That's what we teach the teams. Don't go any further until they have forgiven the people they need to, find out if there's anyone they couldn't forgive, forgiving themselves and forgiving God if they blamed him for something, not realizing, of course, that it's Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And some people, due to that kind of teaching, are blaming God for the bad thing. And, of course, we see all the time it's Satan that's pulling the strings.
And just I just want to encourage you out there as you're listening to evaluate your life and think about how you would have prayed for someone that had done that. And, you know, it's convicted me, and I think it's the Holy Spirit telling me, I believe these two young men that Leon has chosen to take up the mantle and instead of the gap for them, then he's praying for them, that he may be the first person to ever prayed for them in a way that may turn their lives around. And so it's just, that it's really touched me, that testimony, and I thought, you know, that goes right into what deliverance is. And I know Leon will say the same thing. If he had not gone through deliverance and got rid of a lot of these judgmental spirits that can be in us, that come from just the baggage of our lives, he would have never got to the point where he had done that. And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that they're excused from what they did, but it frees you. That's the key. It really frees you. When you're free, it allows that person to also, you know, God's grace and mercy to operate in them. Because if you sit back and think about all the things in your life that you did not deserve grace and mercy, and think about the things, you know, they say we all got the skeletons in our closet. Think about how you behaved when you were 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. I believe that the way I behaved in my life, someone had to be praying for me. And extra grace and mercy in my life, because I did some pretty dumb things, and I guess probably the only reason it kept me from going into a boys' home was I didn't get caught. So thank the Lord.
We've all come from somewhere, you know.
Yes, we have. We have. So that's just a fantastic testimony. Thank you, Brother Leon, for sharing that. It encouraged me. I hope those out there heard it encouraged, because it's so important
to
exercise forgiveness. So important.
You know, another point, Ralph, on the forgiving, of course, we mention it a lot, but as Jesus said in the King James, it was so clear in Matthew 18:34-35, that if we don't forgive, we will be turned to the tormentors. And, of course, we see the tormentors to typically be around 36, usually as a minimum, of evil spirits that have come through that door, and other doors, too, usually. But that's a huge door, the most slippery door that we deal with, and it's hard to get it across to people because we haven't had a lot of training, it seems, on how important it is to forgive.
It is so important, and you know, even before it gets to that, it gets the story of the servant who was forgiven the I can't remember how many talents it was. I think it was 1,000 talents, and then he was forgiven, and he wanted to go beat up some guy over 10 to 100 talents. And that's what the Lord compares to our lives. When we are forgiven, when we repent, believe in Jesus, confess, baptize, and our sins are washed away, we are forgiven of such a debt that we can never pay, and it's the greatest price ever paid was the blood of Jesus for that debt. And it's just so simple. It is simple, and it took me until age 44 before I finally really got it myself too. I guess there's a little connection there. 44 on both of us. We were stiff necked and didn't want to hear, Pastor.
Well, the flesh doesn't want to do it. Nope. You have to drill the word in enough to overcome the flesh and choose and forgive. It's a choice that all of us can make anytime we want to make it. And again, for deliverance, we see it a major door.
Yes. And something that was taught, which was taught through Pastor Cox to me and from various people there, is if you're having trouble with forgiveness, just say the simple thing. You know, let's say, Brother Leon did wrong me. I just say, I forgive Leon and I bless Leon. And, you may not have to believe it at the start, but if you say it enough, before you know it, you start feeling that relief, that
burden
there, and you're speaking it, and you're speaking.
It's becoming a choice.
Yes.
If you keep saying it, crosses the line that you've made the choice at some point.
Now, it's interesting that you read John 14:12. Because we had a storm come through the Ozarks yesterday. I don't know if you got any of that storm or not, Pastor.
No.
Come through. about 5 or 6 o'clock. Well, my son is down in northeastern Arkansas working at a camp, the lifeguard, and he had a group of boys out in a canoe. And they were out in that canoe when that storm came through. And he was telling me about it. And of course, you know, I laughed a little bit, listened to it. And I praised God because I asked him, I said, "Were you praying?" He said, "Oh, yes." And I praised God that he brought this action in his life to teach him to pray. But it gave me the opportunity to tell him, you know, you're the authority just to tell that storm to hush. And
yes.
About the greater works of Jesus. And I actually was talking to him about that very verse. So there's that great Holy Spirit, the coordinator, Pastor, that we talk about often. He just coordinates everything, puts it ready for a teaching for us. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help, your guidance, your direction. And Pastor Cox, we have Derek on the line. Derek, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here. Yeah, Derek. So glad you called in. Ralph's on here with me, and he's up in Missouri. I'm so excited. I know you've got quite a bit to share, and just why don't you go ahead and just get into your history some, and then how you got born again, Derek, and then also how you first learned about deliverance and healing. And then any experiences you'd like to share?
Oh, sure. Thanks, Everett. Well, I'll try to make a long story short with my personal story so I can get into the testimonies. But, yeah, long story short, my dad was a good man. He was a good dad, but he got addicted to drugs. And so he was out of my life for a while, and I kind of followed his footsteps. And I became a drug addict, alcoholic, really bad. I mean, almost died a few times over the years. And by the grace of God, he saved me from that. But I was an atheist. I mean, I didn't believe in God at all or have any kind of grid for God at all. I never thought about him. But long story short, through a series of events, one night I just cried out to him. I had all that this world ever told me I'd need to be happy, and I was very depressed and empty. And I couldn't take it anymore, so once I called out to God from my heart, I said, "God, I give up. I can't live like this anymore. If you're real, show me." And he came to me before I even got "show me" out of my mouth, and just like an unbelievable, it was like a waterfall of love hit me, but it was electricity, and it was like I instantly knew I had a soul and a spirit and a body, and it was this love was flowing through every part of me, and it was like saying, "You're mine, I love you, I accept you," and I was like, "Oh my God, you're real, who are you?"
Thanks, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. It is crazy. And I mean, and I said, "Who are you?" And he led me. I could instantly hear his voice in my conscience. You know, not with my ears or anything, but in my heart. And followed his voice to a little old website that had the gospel on it. And at the end of the gospel presentation, it had the sinner's prayer. And I just got off the knee, and I was like, "Yes, of course, you're Jesus. That makes it, yeah, I believe it." And I got on my knees and prayed the sinner's prayer and felt the sin lift off me. And I was bawling like a baby.
Praise God.
But, yeah, and then instantly, you know, found out Satan was real. And he went after me pretty hard and tore everyone away from me. My wife that I had at the time, we were not believers and didn't know what we were doing. I was trying to tell her God loved her, he was real. But I had to also tell her everything I lied to her about beforehand. And that kind of made it to where she couldn't trust me, so she divorced me. So she left, all my friends left, my family thought I went off the deep end. because I was telling them God's real and he loves them and Jesus loves them, stuff like that. But anyway, he's redeemed all that in time. And now I've gotten to preach in front of my family and see some of them come to Christ, and it's been beautiful. Reconciled with my ex-wife. She's serving God now, and it's really been beautiful. But anyway, you know, through the jerk, it's called me into deliverance ministry, so I heard about it. I just heard about the demonic realm through my friend who had an encounter, a few encounters, demonic encounters. And anyway, started looking into it and found your ministry online. And I was like, yeah, I want to go do this. That's my calling. But the Lord kind of sat me out for a season before I could go, said I need to build up in some other areas before I could enter that. But when he gave me the go-ahead, I came in, and I've been, you know, loving it full frontal ever since then. And it's been a blessing in my life for sure.
Yes, and you've actually gone through our training now, Derek. Tell about that.
Yeah, so I've been through all the training, finally, because my master's school for clinical mental health counseling, and our classes were Monday nights, so I couldn't come for a long time. But I finally graduated and have been coming to where I went through the training for deliverance ministry, so I got to do the training and sit under Everett and Jerry and Jack and, you know, the commanders and the generals, you know. So, I'll tell you a story of how that impacted me if you guys want to hear that.
Sure, go ahead.
So, before I, you know, was authorized to do the ministry by myself, which was this last week, I went to England to do some, London, England. I was invited by a couple from my church to help this church in England with street evangelism, power evangelism, healing, and words of knowledge and prophetic words on the street and stuff. And so we went over there to do that, but while we were there, this lady from the church heard that I was trained in deliverance ministry and wanted to see if I could come over and do deliverance on her. And I was like, well, I've got all authority. I've sat under Everett. I've seen everyone, how it goes. You know, I got to try, at least, to help this lady get free. You know, if she's that desperate to get free, I got to try at least. So I was thinking, you know, going over to her house, it probably, you know, won't be anything too big. We'll just do some door closing and maybe some inner healing stuff. But then when I got over there, and she explained her story, I was like, oh no, this might get serious. Because she was from India, and she had been given, as soon as she was born, she was given to an astrologer to put, well, curses, but, you know, they call them blessings, but curses on her. And then she was into black magic while she grew up in India, and also psychic stuff. So she had a lot of involvement with that throughout her life. But she was a born-again Christian at this point, and God had done wonderful things in her life and actually gave her dreams to lead a lot of her family to Christ. And she even talked on evangelism and things like that. But she was getting oppressed because she had never closed the door or to those things or broke the curses off her family. So anyway, that's what we did. We did as much as I could remember because I didn't have anything, so I didn't know any of the material. I didn't know that I was going to be doing that. But did the door closing and breaking the curses off her family from Hinduism. And then I just started commanding the spirits to come out. and she started manifesting really heavily. I mean, coughing. She even punched me at one point but because I forgot to bind the spirit of violence. But when that happened, I was like, oh, yeah, I bind you, spirit of violence. And then, boom, her hands went down to her side. And they're like, no, no, please don't. You know, please don't kick us out. Like, yeah, you're coming out in Jesus' name right now. Get out. Jesus' name. The blood of Christ is on it. And they really hated when I mentioned the blood. That's when they started getting mad. But anyway, she got completely delivered from all that. And then, you know, Holy Spirit was giving me some other things that were in there while I was calling them out. And, yeah, she was like, I feel so light. This is amazing. She was like, I knew you were going to help deliver me because when you're at the door, I was hearing a voice say, don't let him in. Don't let him in.
Well, hell yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Praise
that was
God.
My first experience.
Yeah, praise God. Jesus really
even overseas.
Yeah, overseas. It still works.
Amen. Well, you're a team leader now, and you even had an interesting case Monday night.
Yeah, did you want to hear about the one, both of mine actually, this month, last Monday and the Monday before? The Monday before had a lot more.
Go ahead and share what you like there.
Okay. I think the first one would probably help people more because it was my first night to where I was going to get to be a team leader and go by myself. And I was getting a bit nervous before, and I was thinking, well, maybe I could just, you know, go under Jerry or Everett one more time and then be a leader. But then, it's like the Lord was like, no, you're ready. Just take the step of faith and do it. I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And so I was like, well, the Lord will probably give me a pretty easy case then. It's my first one. Yeah, that didn't happen because, my God, stuff happened that I'd only read about with this guy. It was amazing. It was crazy. But let's see. So
we're going through the interview, and he had been to Deliverance Ministries. I don't know if
this Deliverance Ministry or different ones. I think different ones before, and he had a lot of problems. I mean, his whole list was kind of marked almost. And he was kind of telling me, going through the interview, telling me his story, and I got a sense from the Holy Spirit that we needed to break a soul tie with him and his mom, although he said he had done that before. I was like, yeah, I don't know why. I think there's something there. And then her boyfriend. And so he was like, well, I haven't broken any soul tie with him. I was like, yeah, I think something's there. We'll just go through it. So we were just going through the soul tie breaking and then the healing part where they cut their hands and put the emotions in their hands and give them to Jesus. And while we were doing that, this was the first thing that happened. He just, his like hand fell, and he just started his face just turned evil and had this evil grin on it. His eyes were like bloodshot red all of a sudden, and he just did this kind of evil laugh. It was like, hey, 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 hey. And it kind of scared me at first because I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then I was like, oh yeah, like in the name of Jesus, come out of him right now. He control, because it came to me as a control spirit. You control spirit, get out in the name of Jesus, I command you. And then his face got scared then. he just started coughing and hacking up all this stuff. And then finally, like, came out, and then he came back, and he was like, what was that? What just happened?
I was like, I think, man, a demon kind of just manifested that was part of that soul tie, I guess. And he was like, that's never happened to me before. I've been through this or stuff like this before. That's never happened. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Well, stuff like that happened almost the whole time. I mean, we barely got through the soul ties. And stuff was just manifesting. A couple interesting ones for lack of time. One demon kind of took him over, and they looked at my Bible. And he was like, you're not going to poke us with that, are you? I was like, yeah, I'm going to poke you with this. If you don't come out of them, I'm poking you with it. He was like, no. I was like, yeah, get out in Jesus' name. And they're like, no. And then I put it on them. They're like, ah, it burns.
Praise God.
It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And then another interesting part about it was he had so much marked on the sheet that by the time we got to the list, there wasn't, I mean, it'd been a long time. And I just was like, well, we might as well try the head demon technique because I've seen you do it, and also Jerry. It seemed like the best idea at the time, so I tried it, and and to tell the viewers out there, all I was doing was going like by the book, from the sheet, just speaking, just with the authority of Jesus, and these things were just manifesting. It wasn't like I was like really confident or knew what I was doing or well polished. It was just the authority that Jesus had given me in the moment, I guess. So yeah. Anybody, any believer can do the same thing. It's not hard.
Yes.
But we just went through the head demon technique.
Yeah. How'd it wind up, Derek?
Okay, yeah. So I got Death up. Death was the head demon. And I had to get it out of him who he was by doing the thing. Whenever he came up, he just like looked around the room. And I was like, yeah, you see these angels around me? Like, how many are there? And he was like, 17. I was like, they're war angels. If you don't tell me what I need to know, they're going to stick you with their swords. And he wouldn't tell me his name, and then I asked the angel to give him 3 jabs with a sword. And he's like, okay. And he's like, death. And then he told me it was death. And anyway, when I cast, had him line up all the ones under him, which he said there are 375 under him, line them up, and then on the count of 3, leave and use the same, and I, cast it out. When I cast death out, I had read in a book, Frank Hammond's book, that when you cast the spirit of death out, the person will look like they're dead, actually. And that's exactly what happened. But if I wouldn't have read that beforehand, he would have just fell out of his chair. I had to go catch him because he turned white and stiff, and he just fell out of his chair. But I caught him before he hit the ground, and I put him back up. And I was like, okay, this is okay. I remember reading about this. I was like, okay, rest, come back. And then he came back. And he was like, yeah. So it was crazy.
Wow. Well, you are initiated. Praise God.
No kidding. Baptism by fire.
You're ready for the world now, Derek.
Well, I couldn't have done it. All I did was really just what I've seen you do, and so can't thank you enough for everything you've trained me for, and it's just been an honor.
Well, Derek, we just have a few seconds left. What would you sum up to the listeners about deliverance?
It's needed, and you can get rid of years of torture and trauma in a few hours. And if you give it to Jesus, he'll take it. Jesus does it all. It's not hard. Anyone who wants to do deliverance ministry, it's really needed. And the Lord doesn't have very many people that will do it. So if you have a heart for it and you want to be on the front lines of the battle, get into it. We need more soldiers.
Praise God. Amen. Derek, thank Amen. You so much for sharing. That was awesome.
Yes, sir.
Really
thank
appreciate
you.
You calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Evening. All
right. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Derek.
God bless you.
You did great.
Thank you. Bye.
Like I said, he just observed and watched. He watched you and probably watched all those others around there in the training, and that helps. I mean, it is a system. Work smarter, not harder. Why try to fix what ain't broke, and just apply the system that's there. And he is right. The harvest is plenty, and the laborers are few. And we need more and more young men like him, and the younger people we had last week call in to get out there and do it, because the harvest is plentiful, but there's just such few laborers to take care of it. Pastor, we have Peter on the line. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
All right, Dad, Peter. Thanks. Appreciate your call,
yes.
Brother.
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you great. Why don't you go ahead, Peter, and share your some history on yourself and how you when you got born again, and then how you learned about deliverance and healing, and share any experiences you'd like. We've got about 20 minutes.
Okay, that'll be plenty enough time. A certain event in my life when, growing up, I grew up with a very depressed orphan spirit. And basically, about 10 years ago, I took a mission trip to Africa. And I saw the children and I saw the people I was involved in, this team I didn't really know, from America. And they were just loving on kids, but I didn't really know how to accept. I didn't know how to receive love, so I couldn't really press it out to these kids. So I came back from that experience and was like, God, what are you doing to my heart? Because I know I have a lot of orphan bitterness in my heart. And a friend led me to Jesus. She walked me through the sinner's prayer, and that was just a door open for God to work an amazing experience. And so when in Africa, I actually got baptized in Murky Swamp. We have like a baptism day. 40 Kenyans, this was in Kenya, 40 Kenyans got baptized in Murky Swamp behind the orphanage that we partnered with. And I felt the Holy Spirit just saying, you know what, give me a chance, Peter. Give me a chance. So I got in line, and I'm like, okay, this is my time. So my team is baptizing these natives. And so I went on board, and, you know, I didn't really care what was swimming in the swamp. I knew it was dirty, probably filthy with all sorts of disease. Like, I was baptized, and, of course, he's saying they gave me, like, a salvation bracelet, and I didn't really know what was going on. So that was 10 years ago, and that was the door open for God to come and speak into my life. Now, all these years, I've been to a number of places, and it didn't really hit hard until I spent 2 years in the Middle East, and this was 5 years ago. And I was placed in some really tough situations, and the only thing I could do was call out to Jesus Christ. When I did, literally 10 or 20 seconds later, help would come. And so coming home, and then coming, I actually, about 4 years ago, I came to Oklahoma City, and I moved here and started just living out my faith. And through various connections to prayer, to deliverance ministries, and then ended up actually at Everett Cox Ministry, and ended up to date, probably about 6 or 7 times I went back there, and I walked through a lot of deliverance and a lot of prayer and healing. And up until this point, I was very confused, because a number of years prior, I felt God's voice. I felt His Spirit speak to me personally. Whenever I was in prayer meetings, whenever I was in prayer circles, the Spirit of God would be like, okay, you need to speak this out, you know, when you're praying for an individual. So I would be getting what's called words of knowledge to God would use me to heal a person, just even like what we would call basic stuff to, you know, migraines, to headaches, and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's no such level as far as what God wants to use you. There's no higher, there's no lower as far as the amount of God, the gifts that, you know, spiritual gifts. So I was like, what's going on here? I was just making myself available for God to use me. And I'm like, there's got to be something different than this orphan spirit that I've been using to actually to gain pity, to gain, trying to gain gifts. Because at that point, right before moving to Oklahoma, I was like, you know, victim mentality of, oh my gosh, I need to almost suffer through life. I was homeless. I was traveling. I was just kind of making it through. I was contract based a number of different times for a couple different years. You know, just living. You know, just okay. I hope this is gonna pan out. And I didn't really have anything foundation to rest on, which that was God's word. So when coming to Oklahoma City, it kind of sprang open. Like I said, I got myself involved with a really cool church and several people that really spoke into my life, and it was always choices to receive God's love or not, to revert to my old mindset of that depression that I had for 20 years, 15 years. And various choices I knew when growing up, it wouldn't be overnight that I would be set free or instantly a life change, but constantly choices, kind of like, you know, layers on an onion. And so what really prompted me, you know, sped up the process on knowing about myself and knowing my identity in Christ is spiritual warfare, knowing about spiritual warfare, and calling up and being precise about healing in my own life and recognizing the authority that I had and the righteousness I had and the sonship that I had. And He wasn't going to just give me bread crumbs off the table. He was going to bless me. He was going to prosper me. Wherever I moved, He was going to move because He loved me this much. But still, there was a lot of confusion, a lot of self-centeredness. So I started going to these meetings on Monday nights with Everett Cox, and through their prayers and just heart-searching and just, you know, deliverance. It wasn't like all of a sudden I was clear from a lot of addiction in my life, but it was also choices. And when I made the correct choice on believing God and trusting Him, those choices were made clear. It wasn't a struggle anymore. So, and I realize now that I'm a warrior, I'm an intercessor, and I speak life towards people, not hate. And that's the difference between the Peter that was 5 years ago versus the Peter I am now, because I realize my authority and God's healing and God's working through my life, and I have a choice to accept Him and believe His Holy Spirit.
Awesome, Peter. Awesome. And, you know, we've all come from somewhere, of course. We've all had the situations that we probably wish we hadn't have been in, et cetera. But it's so great to hear how your life has changed. And are you starting into the training now, Peter?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been there twice or three times. I think my last time there was 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. I had something come up in Edmond, a town here in Oklahoma City, last Monday. But yeah, I'm doing the training because I want to be used my knowledge to set people free.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we were commenting earlier that there's more young people, it seems like, going to the training now than we've had. And, of course, look at all the need with the young people, Peter.
Yeah. From what I gather, God is certainly raising up a new generation. We can't live with the older generation. You know, I'm in my 30s, and I can't live and start up a revival or whatever without the older generation's knowledge. Then again, the older people, they're looking to us because they're like, from what I gather, what I'm hearing, older people in ministry and and these giftings, they need younger people to reach this generation. And she said, okay, yeah, we believe from the textbook, but we need to know the Spirit of God. We need to know how it's flowing in this generation. So yeah, that is certainly true, Everett. God is raising up a whole new army. He's sending, this is the end of days, which I think it is. Next couple generations will be where Christ comes back. And it's like his word. He will send dreams and visions to old and young generations to prophesy over one another. That's chapter 3 in these last days.
Exactly what the word says, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Have you set in on some interesting cases in your training?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some interesting occurrences here. It's certainly something that, whatever it does on Monday nights in the deliverance ministry, we get all sorts of cases and stories of people just walking through, even like they come and bring their whole family into that. Yeah, our house is demonically oppressed, things keep moving, or we receive scratches on our children. I think there might be something lurking in our closet back at home. Could we have deliverance? And God definitely sets them free as long as they're willing to trust him and be faithful.
Yes. When people get tormented enough, that's when they tend to reach out. Some people aren't tormented enough yet. And we've had some right along come like that. Someone suggests they come or they bring them, but they don't want to change. But there's still plenty that are tired of the torment, and they're looking for an answer, and they're waiting for somebody to tell them how to get free and how to get healed. Have you seen some physical healings as well?
Yes, I have. During the deliverance, they have what's called a limb check, which is basically if their foot is an inch lower than the one, then God is able to work through these deliverance ministers and heal and straighten them out right before their eyes. And so, like, a limb would grow back a little bit, or they have a hip adjoinment or a shoulder adjoinment, and if something is off, then God will show up and definitely heal the person.
Yes. I've seen 40 years of that now, Peter. The church I started going to back in 78 that was doing deliverance was also doing limb checks then. And seeing the short legs and arms adjust just blew me away. It was a tangible miracle while you watch,
Yeah.
And I've seen 40 years of that, and I'm still amazed every time I see it. As we speak in Jesus' name and see it adjust out.
Yeah, the church I'm attending now, right up the street. Right up the street from wherever it is meeting.
Yeah,
the church I'm attending right up the street is, they're actually going to South America. Actually, not South America, South Africa, I'm sorry. And they're actually going out on the streets and healing people. They're going in a restaurant just to have lunch, but things are breaking out. And soon enough later, you see the whole kitchen staff coming out, and God is playing them in the spirit and healing them and doing some wonderful, things in their life. And that's just really astounding. It's kind of like, in my own personal walk, it's kind of like God gives me a spiritual promotion and just seeing all this. And it's not just for the great in voice or grace in appearance. It's also for anyone who's willing, because God's word said, my sheep hear my voice. And then another scripture says, you are my hands and my feet. And what does that mean? Bring the kingdom of God here and doing the greater works of the body of Christ.
Yes. Yes, it's so true that, and all Christians can do it. It's not a gift thing at all. It's just normal Christianity, and I'd never heard of it up to age 44. And most people were just like I was. I didn't have the slightest that all this was going on and evil spirits around tormenting people. And the majority of the population is like that. And even a good, a rather high percentage of the Christian bodies that way. I was born again when I was 13, but I had never heard anything about all this we're talking about until age 44. Hmm. So we all got a long ways to go in sharing, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, as far as you're honest and you're obedient to God is the most important thing that I've learned, because God can only use Christians even to the extent that they're humble, to the extent that they're obedient, and the extent to that they trust God. And those three things, they can be scary, but just like in Chronicles of Narnia, is the lion safe? Is the lion good? Of course he's not safe, but he is a good lion. Jesus is a good lion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, what else would you like to share? We still got a little time left. Anything else come to you, Peter, to share with the listeners?
Yeah. If people are, like, wondering probably, is this really real? Is healing really going on today? Is healing, is deliverance, is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit really real? To the extent that your salvation, your basic belief in Christ is real and everything that he said, you can trust that he has said the healing, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the fire presence of God is real. Because you can't separate one from the other. You can't say, oh yeah, I received Jesus, but I don't believe the gift. Because that's actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit. When you denounce that, oh no, I can't be used in this manner, that was yesteryear. Not to get on the whole theological debate, but you're missing out on gifts that God wants to bless you with. And so what I've learned is,
yes.
You know, like what I mentioned before, it's a heart language between you and God. It's a heart language when he fills you up to receive God's love, to receive God's faith and trust and perseverance for your life. Then he can overflow you and be like, you know what, son, this is what I've wanted for you. I can entrust in you for the gifts of healing or the gifts of laying on hands. And I can trust. And you don't have to be all holy. You don't have to be all knowledgeable. You just need to step out in faith. Because God, that God does honor stepping out of faith. And to worship him right where you're at, yeah, sure, you know, the town, the village, your house may be crumbling, but our God, he's a mighty God. And his word is faithful, he is true. And stand on that and say, I don't need to be afraid, because fear comes from the devil. I don't need to wonder about what's going to happen tomorrow. I do need to be responsible. I do need to own up to my responsibility in this life. But God is the one that backs me up in all the decisions and all the choices. So if you're listening and you're wondering, well, this looks like I'm really superstitious or whatever, trust in God and trust in the Holy Spirit. He will direct you in all the paths that you will take. And worship him no matter what you're faced with, and he will break through. The very heart of worship is slicing like a two-edged sword. And he will show up in the midst.
Yes. And, you know, the people that don't step into these commands of Jesus to do them, they're missing a lot of the wonderful part of the gospel. They're actually selling themselves way too short, that there's so much more beyond salvation. All these things we're talking about is for us if we'll move into it and start learning about it and then doing it. Again, I've said it so many times, but I'm so thankful somebody shared with me, or I could have missed it so easily. I could have just never got here. And I've had 40 years of my adventure now.
Yeah, and to realize that, you know, your torment, your delusionment, your worry, you know, it's probably just life, but to realize that there's a God that loves you so much, that wants to set you free, that when you make a decision to follow him, he offers that life, he offers that clarity, he offers that peace, that strength, that perseverance, that faith, that trust, that knowing, that knowledge. And when you come to him, he's like just happy that we come to him, saying, "Got it. God, Daddy, I got a boo-boo. Please take care of it." And some of that is in the spiritual realm. And he will clear it up in clarity if you take authority in your rightful place in the spirit. And that's not, you know, that's your authority that you have only in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Peter, thank you so much for sharing tonight. You've been a blessing.
Thank you so much for having me, for sure.
And I'll see you at the ministry. God bless you, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you, Everett. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, he sounds like he got a good grasp on it. I couldn't have explained it better as far as missing out on the gifts and what the Holy Spirit has to offer you. And it is unfortunate. There is a misconception and false teachings and about how the gifts aren't for today. But if the gifts aren't for today, then why were we told greater things than these? He will do also. And it's because he goes to the Father. And when he went to the Father, who did he send? He sent the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to us, it gives us the power of the gifts. Some people have access to it, the others don't. More access to it, but the access is all there for believers in Christ. And,
And if it's not for today, Ralph, if it's not for today, why are we doing it?
Exactly.
We are. And seeing it.
I can't think of any other time in history that it is needed. I mean, I've often said that on the radio and tell people all the time, if you want to see how oppressed, spiritually and demonically oppressed our people is, just sit outside of Walmart and watch people go in and out. And
yes.
Young people,
Ralph, if we had an army of like these young men that were on here tonight, think of having an army of those out there armed and understanding the fullness of the gospel. Praise God.
Praise God. Things would be different. And Lord, continue to raise up people like that. Can you send them to Deliverance Ministry, Lord? Send them to those out here that have been trained to help get those and get trained and continue to spread and preach the word and get the gospel out. And it was just absolutely fantastic testimony this evening. That's just such hope to hear young men.
Ralph, if you got time, you might give the website and the book.
Yes, the website is deliveranceusa.com. All the training and all the materials that are talked about from on the Monday nights available there online. They're free for the gathering. You have to download it, print. And also the book is called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that was written by Pastor Cox, that he put together his 40 years of experience in there. And that can be gotten. You can get a hold of that by getting a hold of Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. If you need it, call Richard. He'll get it to you. And just a fantastic night. And we do thank everybody for tuning in. Pastor, we'll talk to you later. God bless everybody, and have a great evening.
Yes, God bless you all.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, ooh,
and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, ooh,
and to overcome,
ooh,
all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.